Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. On today's podcast, we have an interview with Linda Reiter from Shattered Globe Theater. She will be talking to Tom Williams about their latest show, The Price. Also, we have an audio review of The Price. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is one of the early members of Shattered Globe Theater Company, one of the finest actresses in Chicago, Linda Reiter.
Oh, go on now.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Linda, tell us about The Price, the Arthur Miller play. What got Shattered Globe to produce this play?
Well, one reason is because no one else was doing it this year, which we always have to consider when we're picking plays. We had been thinking of it for a while. It was done, I don't remember exactly when, but a few years back we were thinking of it. It was done, I'm trying to remember exactly, something like maybe 7 years ago, out at Writers Theater. They were very successful with it. We try not to do things too closely to other productions that have been successful, but you also try to have to get it in there when you can, too. So,
That's true.
And, you know, Writers Theater, a wonderful theater company, is kind of far from here, so not everyone, I'm sure, goes out to see all their productions. And we were sure that we would still be able to get an audience, and we were sure we would be able to do a good job with it because it's Arthur Miller, and our ensemble does very well with the classics. They really speak to us.
You certainly do, and it is a great choice. It's a surprisingly strong play.
It is.
In doing my research after I saw the play, which just blew me away, I want to congratulate everybody in the play. It was really dynamite. I was stunned by how strong a piece it is, and some people say it is the companion piece to Death of a Salesman. It's the same basic. So tell us the storyline.
Well, it's about two brothers who get together to sell their father, their family's furniture. After many years, it's been since the Depression, sitting up in an attic, and the father has died now like 16 years ago, and nobody's done anything with this furniture. And now they're tearing the building down, so they have to get rid of it. One brother is a successful surgeon. The other is a cop in New York, and he sort of fell into that because he had to take care of the father after the Depression, who went into a depression of his own when he lost all his fortune, and the mother died. The father went into a depression. So Victor stayed pretty much close to home, took the job of a police officer to help give money to his father. At the time, as we do in many ways in our life, we often do that. Take something we think. The job I'm doing now, I went in my day job, I went into it 20 years ago thinking, well, this is better than waitressing. I'll just do this for a while, and 20 years later. But this is the kind of thing he did. And him and his wife always thought, oh, he'll get out at some point and go into science, which he had a knack for and he always wanted to do, and go back to school. But then, of course, as you get older, and now he's nearing 50, he feels like, well, it's too late.
And you play the wife.
I play the wife, who keeps telling him it's not too late. You still have a good 20 years left. But it gets scary when you're leaving a job to think you can go into another profession.
And Doug McDade plays your husband, right?
Yes, he does. Doug, who's been my husband probably about 8 or 9 times now in shows.
That's true. That's true. He's a terrific actor.
He's wonderful, and he's great in this part.
And Don Blair plays Walter, surgeon brother.
Right? Yes.
And one of my favorites, who almost steals the show, is Maury Cooper, who plays. You got to tell us about Solomon.
He does steal the show. He's an old Jew who is buying the furniture. Comes in to give him an appraisal on the furniture, and he's just kind of the comic relief of the show. He's just got a wonderful, free kind of spirit personality, and he's just got a punchline for everything.
Yeah, it's one of the better written characters
it really
that Miller
is.
Has developed.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked what you did with Esther, because you played her for a combination of you were loyal, but you get mad at him.
Oh yeah. She is loyal. But, you know, and some
people... But she wants the good life, right?
Sure. Yeah. And she's not afraid to say it after all this time. They had been talking about it all this time. So finally, she's going to hold him up to his promise. And, you know, you said, and we're going to do something, because it's driving her
and the
crazy.
Set, I'm looking here for the set. Scenic design was
Kevin Hagen. You know, he's always spectacular.
I mean, folks,
everybody
this
walks
is the
in
upstairs
and...
studio at Victory Gardens.
Right.
It's not a big space.
No.
But... The feel they gave to it definitely looks like an attic.
It does.
Yeah,
people say they can smell the must and the dust, though there isn't any there, but it looks great and it sounds great. The boards we're walking on sounds like you're walking in an attic. It's wonderful.
And where do they get all the antiques?
Oh, I don't even know. I think some of them belong to Mr. Hagen. I think he
brings probably. Okay,
he brings a lot of them from his apartment and other friends. And I think he did get some things. I think it was from Steppenwolf donated a couple of pieces, that type of thing.
Because as soon as you walk into the studio, you know it's an addict, and even if you don't know the storyline, it has a strong feel.
Yeah,
to it.
We really got into the play much more once we got on that set and in the costumes, and it really had a different feel to it. It was wonderful.
Yes, and it's just an example of how good of the work that Shattered Globe has done through the years.
Thank you.
I mean, I want to ask you about some of that, but my favorite show that I saw you guys do was Judgment at Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
It was
a great show. Yes, I was in that when I was the German wife in that one.
Yeah, you played
kind of
wife
the bad guy.
Didn't you put the wife of...
one was, of the generals that was...
The generals was executed,
in
right?
the trial before, exactly. Right. It was a great part. People hated me, but I'd have the speech where I, like everyone says, we didn't know what was going on. And I think she is kind of sympathetic, though it's hard to sympathize with a woman who led a certain type of life and didn't know anything else, and then suddenly this happened.
Well, kind of the aristocratic German upper crust, yeah.
Exactly. So, but it was a wonderful play, too. Maury Cooper was spectacular in that.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it. I met Mann, the writer, was at your opening.
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. He's a character.
Yes, he sure is. And I remember him saying at the reception that he thought Maury Cooper did a better job of playing the judge,
mm-hmm.
Judge Ernst Janning, I think the name
mm-hmm.
was. Than Burt Lancaster did in the film.
Yeah, he did.
How's that for a compliment?
Yeah, right. He actually told a few of us that.
Did he really?
Yeah,
okay,
I think
good.
I got that compliment too. But and then he told me to lose the hat. He came.
Oh,
to
he
a,
did. Oh,
he came
he
to
paid
a,
you, well, tell me what he
came
said.
To a dress rehearsal, and there was a few. He was giving us some notes. You know, the costumer had me in this hat, which I didn't particularly care for either. But he said after the dress rehearsal, he came up to her and me and said she needs to lose the hat.
Okay. Now, and I believe the film won a couple Academy Awards.
It did, and
yes.
I don't remember exactly, but I know it did. Yeah.
But and Doug McDade played the Spencer Tracy
mm-hmm,
role, played
mm-hmm,
the judge.
The judge.
Yeah, it's one of the great films.
Mm-hmm.
And
Don Blair was one of the judges in that,
right,
too, who
was
also
that,
his brother
in
this show. Right.
But that was one of the more stunning plays, you guys.
Yeah.
And it was remounted, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
downtown in the Randolph space.
I saw it
right?
both times, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very, very...
And Kevin did a wonderful job with that set, too, because it takes place in different areas, so it had to be just an open set. But he was very creative with how he created that.
Yeah,
and the
all
lumber.
Those transitions worked so well. Mm-hmm. It created the atmosphere.
Right.
It was one of the more stunning
pieces. And Lou Conti, of course, who's done a lot of direction for us, he's very clever at putting that kind of show together. We have to be
very
imaginative.
Talented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he gets you guys all on the same page quite well.
Right, right.
Also, I one of the plays that I thought you were terrific in was Lettuce and Lovage.
Oh,
and
Court Theater.
Tell us about that. I mean,
it was
you were
fun.
Such a... I didn't realize what a great comic you could
I don't
be.
Get that many comedies at Shattered Globe. We do them now and then. But I think in our company, Eileen Nicolai is known for more of the... known more as the comedy actress. She's hysterical.
Yes, she
But
is.
I do comedy well, as you
yes,
saw.
Yes, you...
I just... Yeah. And I had a blast. First time I had worked at Court, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a great cast. That's where I met John Judd. Well, I first worked with John Judd, who then came when we were doing that show. I asked him if he might be interested in doing Come Back, Little Sheba. And that's
Boy,
how that connection
me on
made.
That was my next question.
Oh, good. So
that is one of the great plays. And there couldn't have been a better production of that play than what you and John Judd did with that. It was absolutely amazing.
It's up there with my favorite place that I've ever done. It was just wonderful. I loved working with John, and it was the first time we had worked with David Cromer.
He would work
with John a lot before, mm-hmm. but we had never worked with him. But it was a great experience and a great play. And
well, there you got to play kind of a Looney Tunes.
I did, yeah.
She's way out.
She is, yeah, but lovable.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
A little on the crazy side, but I just loved playing her.
Violence,
it was so different because I usually play stronger women kind of characters.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
that was so different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the stretch of which makes
she was that, very needy. Yeah, yeah. Uh huh.
And that scene, that violent scene at the end.
Oh, isn't that scary?
Wow.
Yeah. It was scary for us, too, believe me. You weren't sure what was going to happen every night. You kind of had it mapped out, of course. But when you're doing things live like that, when you're pulling a tablecloth off a table that has dishes on it, you really don't know what's going to break or where they're going to go.
Yeah, you got to tell us about it. Have any strange? Because a lot of people think it's the same every night.
No, it's
only
not.
On film it's the same, right?
Yeah, it was different every night. I mean, sometimes everything would break. Sometimes nothing would. You don't know why, but and depending on John, how ferocious he wanted to be on any given night, if he came in a little bit worse mood, maybe, I don't know. One night, I remember he just picked, it was the vase or one of the plates up before he even pulled the tablecloth away and just smashed it against the table. It flew into bits. I mean,
that frightened you a little bit.
It did.
You didn't know that was coming, huh?
It was easy to get into the part there because it was kind of frightening, but it's just wonderful kind of to get into something like that that's so real to you.
Yeah, that show did real well, too, didn't it?
It did very well, yeah.
Because I know...
We wished we could have extended it, but, you know...
You about that. Do you guys have a subscription audience, or is it map a season... How much can you extend a show that's a major hit?
Well, we really can't. The thing is, at Victory Gardens, it's a wonderful place to work, and they've been great to us. But the only thing we can't really do is because they schedule out other theaters to come in, so we have to have an exact schedule. So we have to say, yeah, we'll take 6 weeks to run this show or 8 weeks to run this one, and then we just hope it's good enough to go 8 weeks. You know, unfortunately, Come Back Little Sheba, we knew it would be good, but we could only get a 6 week slot on that, so it was a little bit of a shorter run than we would have liked. But
yeah, because that show could have run.
It could have definitely gone the full eight, of course. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, as far as Shattered Globe goes, is there any plans in the future of you guys getting your own space again? I know you originally had that space, that small space on Halsted Street.
Some years ago,
yeah,
right.
That was
right.
Way back.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our long-term scheme, yes, it's in the plan, but I couldn't say exactly when. I'm sure we'll be at Victory Gardens for the next few years. That's about all I can say because I'm not sitting in on the board planning committee, but I know they do talk about that. And it is something we want to do. It's hard to, you really have to be ready not only to financially support a space, but you have to financially support a box office and maintenance and all of that.
So I know Victory Gardens is a terrific place.
That's why one of the reasons we stay there, one of the many reasons, they're wonderful people. But that's very helpful to us to have all that service.
That's true. They'll sell the tickets, everything for you. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, in the long run, one day, yes, we would like to get our own space again and be able to do that, run a show for
Or let's talk about
months.
Your background. Tell us how you got started in theater and, what's your general background?
Long time ago. I got started in theater in high school.
Okay.
Being a thespian in Fort Lauderdale, where I grew up.
Is that right? I lived there for 10 years.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah. Oh,
nice. I love it. I miss it. I've been up here over 20 years now, but I still hate the winter.
yeah, me too.
My first play, let's see, was Lil Abner.
Is that right? That's
and I played Stupefying Jones. But since then, yeah, I caught the bug and wanted to do it since then. So after high school, I went into college for theater, and I went to undergraduate school at Florida State, and then I went to Illinois State for graduate school, which is how I got into this area, and went to, Illinois State, the same time as a lot of the people at Steppenwolf, actually.
Well, who were some of your contemporaries?
Pardon?
Some of your contemporaries?
Who all was there? Gary Cole was there at the same time.
Sure.
And Laurie Metcalf, I had some classes that she was in. And Malkovich, I think, was a year before I got there or something like that. But, yeah, Gary Sinise, They were all there.
Nice company to be
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys have all done so well.
And I kind of drifted after that. I went to New York for a short period and moved around a little bit, but I came back here because I did love the theater in Chicago. And I worked a little bit at Remains. I did one show with Remains before they kind of split up.
Okay.
And then I worked around at a few different companies.
Tell us some of the roles you were in, some of the...
Oh, with the other companies?
Yeah, well,
oh, I'm trying to think back.
In
those early years. I was with a company that is not around any longer that started in Evanston called Trinity Square Ensemble.
And I did
people that remember it. So I did some shows with them, The Crucible we did, and
all right. Then when did you get involved with Shattered Glory?
But I did several shows with them for a few years. And then I'm trying to remember what year I started with Shattered Glory. I think it was 1991. When I started with Shattered Globe. They had just started like the year before, so it might have been 89 or 90, where they got into the Halsted Street space and did their first couple of shows. And then I saw an ad in the Reader for an audition.
See, folks?
For Count Oderland. And I went and auditioned and got the part, and they asked me to join the company, just like that.
During the first show?
Yeah, uh-huh,
That's quite a testimony to your work.
They knew I had some treasuring ability. They wanted to meet me to be their treasurer. I think that was part of the reason they asked me, to be honest. But, I liked the group after the first show, and I always liked ensemble acting. And a lot of people in theaters in Chicago say that, and that term is thrown around a lot. And some of it is, and some of it is not so much, but we're a true ensemble company that some of our members do move on, but we still have a core of members that we use regularly.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's very rare in anywhere that so many of your major players have stayed with the group.
Right,
and
right.
You also did an organizational thing where you had like a committee of five people that were
We did that for several years, actually. It was too many meetings because we had five, like, I don't know what you'd call it. It was an associate group of directors that met and made all the decisions. And it was the founding members, Joe Forbrick, Brian Pudel, and then Eileen and myself, who came in, like I said, the next year. Were part of that group, and it worked really well in many ways. But it just was too many meetings and phone calls, and to get any decisions made, you had to check with everybody. And
I could see where that.
So then we narrowed it down to two, and that we did that for quite some time.
It was
also
Lou Conti.
It switched off, but it was Lou Conti and Brian. Steve Key, I forgot him. He was in the original group too, and it was Lou Conti and Brian for a while, and then I think it was Steve Key and Brian for a while, and.
But you're talking about top talent with judgment, because that's one of the things that a lot of people say about Shattered Globe is you're one of those theater companies that people can, if they see it's a Shattered Globe show, just go see it. And you're on my list of that, too, because you're going to get a top play done very well.
Yes.
And that's about judgment.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I would tend to agree that that's true.
No,
not everybody agrees with the choices of plays, maybe, but because we do try to do, we do classics very well, but we'd like to throw in different things now and then, and
did at the Viaduct, the Meet John Doe,
right,
that was an ambitious.
Yeah, it was. It was very ambitious. I played.
I mean, so many people. That was a big cast show, wasn't it? Like 20 some people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I played. A couple of different parts. I was the mother of the reporter, the young girl that's the reporter.
That's right.
And I played, and also just a few in group scenes.
Now, that's a rarely done, because that was a very famous film.
Right.
But I don't remember anyone doing it on stage.
No, it had never been done. It was an ambitious project, I thought. It was well done. It was the space, the Viaduct, I haven't been to show there in a while, but the way the House Theater uses it now is that the way it's built, they don't really use the entire space. At least, I don't know what they're doing for the show they are now, but they
very
didn't
similar.
Used to.
Yeah, very similar to the other shows they've done.
Right, so they narrow it down a bit, quite a bit. Well, we opened it up and used really the entire space.
It was incredible.
It was huge.
Yeah.
It felt a little, I think it was a little too big for the show, and it left a a lot of audience seats, and we had a lot of empty seats, so that was frustrating because we had so many seats that way, the way we did it, the way we set it up.
Yeah,
I think it
true.
Was kind
you
of could, all around the stage.
Yes,
the
it was. Went. It was one of the larger settings that we've seen. Mm-hmm. But so kudos it had to some, you guys for attempting
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it had some good critical acclaim, but yes. it didn't sell well, unfortunately, so...
Oh, that's sometimes they don't.
Well, you got to take a risk now and then,
well,
you know.
and that's part of what theater's about.
Yeah, all be winners, yeah.
Doing the price, in a way, was a risk because it's not that well-known an
true.
Arthur Miller. Although,
true.
You know, good pedigree with an Arthur Miller name
true.
On it.
True, right, right.
And that's one of the surprising things that I think a lot of us said in reviews, mm-hmm. that it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, yeah, that they're surprised it's not done more often even. And
I thought you were outstanding in it. Because you had a tough role to play. A lot of times you were reacting to Doug and what was
that's
going
on. That's a big
on.
Part of it.
And I mean, I knew right where you were at just by the looks you get. I mean, you're good. One of those actors that can really communicate a lot without saying a word. And I know you were aggravated at him during this, that whole scene there when he was sort of, you mm-hmm. know, sort of waffling. But my one question is that some people have asked, does she leave him?
At the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either.
No,
but some
I don't
people were saying
so.
that, you know, you were so aggravated.
Yeah,
your
she is,
was
but
so
I think you see at the end, you see, I think she understands why he stayed at the end. Whether or not he knew he had the money or he questioned he had, his father had any money or how much he had, kind of becomes a moot point because of the reasons he stayed really weren't about that. It was about what he says at the end, trying to hold this family together.
Right.
And I think she understands that.
And that's what makes this play so similar to Death of a Salesman, mm-hmm. is it's a universal story. There's a lot. We all know people like the Victor character mm-hmm. who where it's kind of a professional martyr, but he chose to be that.
Yeah.
And that's what you were kind of saying to him. You, now it's time, let's go live the good life.
Right, right.
You know, and the brother, in a way, he's trying to make up for the past.
Because he does feel a bit of guilt.
He does
feel guilt.
But where was he, where then? So,
right, it's
it was all those shades of gray, mm-hmm. which makes Miller's mm-hmm. stories, you know, so strong. But I think a lot of people could relate to this play.
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah.
All right, let's give a little commercial for the play.
Okay.
It's at Victory Gardens Greenhouse, which is over on Lincoln Avenue, the original mm-hmm. Victory Garden. What days do you run?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8, and Sunday matinees at 3.
Okay, mm-hmm. And
this goes till March 3rd, I believe, is the date.
And they can go to the Shattered Globe Theater
box office
or the box office at Victory Gardens
right
for tickets
Shattered Globe .com
is it .com or .org
now I can't remember
well if you put Shattered Globe Theater right in it,
sure
just,
it'll,
if
mm-hmm.
you Google that it'll come right up to you guys
so.
Or Shattered
exactly
Shattered Globe Chicago is another way I
and they can buy tickets that way or through the Victory Gardens box office or at Hot Ticks. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what shows do you have coming up?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're in negotiation on that,
right,
so I can't really say now. But,
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I was trying for a little scoop.
Yeah.
What about yourself? What do you have coming up?
Nothing. I'll probably never work again.
Oh, you know, I hear that from so many. And guess what? And then the press releases come out, and your name's always.
Well, I was so busy this year, and it's been great, but it will be nice to take a little. Now and then you need a little break, so because I went from court into Sheba pretty much and then into this but
well how about House of
I think
Blue
I have
Leaves.
The spring off so oh yeah House of Blue Leaves right
let's talk about I know it's hard to say your best what you consider your favorite role unless you have one or do you have
so
two
hard.
Or three
I probably could come up with two or three I don't think I could come up with one
All
but
right.
I have to go back there in a few years ago and bring up Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
It's
I don't know if it's you said it was one of my best or just one of my favorites, but
I would say both.
I had to say it was one of my very grueling, but one of my favorite, definitely one of my favorite roles to do. And Little Sheba's certainly up there among them,
and
Bananas too.
I want to mention when you did at the Goodman, you did the Albee Festival,
mm-hmm.
you did the marriage play,
right?
And you had folks. I have never seen a fight. This is a husband and wife physical fight, rolling around the ground, kicking and everything.
Biting, punching, pulling hair.
Yeah, and how do you fake that? We weren't faking it.
We weren't faking it. Well, you know, we do have a choreographer come in, so we don't really hurt each other. But, it was grueling. And we did get some bruises,
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah, not too bad, but a few minor.
But that's you talk about a couple of actors leaving it all on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bravery of that. And I was stunned by that. And everyone in the audience, I thought a couple of people were going to get up and like break it up. It was that real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I did very much. Yeah.
I understand Albie was there. Did he see the show?
I don't think so, because I believe what happened is he had a family emergency and had to leave.
But so he was in town, I
he
know.
Was in town, and he saw the goat play.
Yeah, the goat and Who is Sylvia? Yeah,
right.
I know he saw that.
And then I think he had to leave, so I don't know if he saw any of the one acts or not. I'm really not sure, but I didn't.
Did you get a chance to meet
him? I
didn't
think he did. No, unfortunately, I didn't. Yeah.
Well, that's
sad. I know.
But that was
I was looking forward to that. I don't know if I was looking forward to him seeing me on stage.
Why?
Because I think I would have been so nervous. But
he's also pretty tough. If he doesn't like
he's
not afraid to
see
tell
if
you
he saw
backstage,
me,
right?
And then they wanted to cast me in something later on. He might say no. So
yeah. Well,
we slipped under the wire with Virginia Woolf. So.
But that is a great. Right, what else now besides Virginia Woolf?
I don't know. I did love doing House of Blue Leaves, too. We'd been talking about doing that one for many years, but it always kind of scared us. But we finally just did it, and
you know,
we just had a fabulous time.
A number of us in town were talking before that show. We saw that show get butchered. And we all went and we said, well, you know, if anybody's going to do it right at Shattered Globe, and we all walked out. I remember walking out with, I don't remember if it was Chris Jones, or I think it was, but I'm not sure. I don't want to. And he said, same thing we were saying, mm-hmm. how great that show was, what you guys did with that.
Yeah.
That's
it
a tough
a
play.
It is a hard play. Oh,
yes.
It is, yeah. But I think we did a good job with it, and we just had a great time doing it. You know, most people just couldn't take the end. That was the big thing for everyone who didn't know the play. It's like, I loved it until the end.
Well, but that's
I couldn't believe
yeah.
he killed you, you know.
Yeah.
And it's true. That's one reason we had trouble. Are we going to really do this? Because this ending, nobody. But, you know, once we really got into it and we're doing it, I don't think it could have ended any other way.
No,
I really
agree.
Don't.
I
you
agree.
Know, that was the right ending.
That
so.
Was the right ending. And,
but also, I have to throw one more in there. Let's say Manchurian Candidate.
Yes,
you remember that one?
I forgot to mention that. That was
so
another
Eleanor
one.
Iceland will always be one of my favorite characters, too. The most wicked person I've ever
played.
That's
another tough show to do that was a major film.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys aren't afraid to tackle those, are you?
No. Yeah. We enjoy it.
Well, kudos to Shattered Globe for the
Thank
work
you.
They've done and to your contribution. And I'll stick with if we had the name, you know, the dozen best actors in town, I think your name comes up on it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure it does. And thank you for giving us the time. And the price is running through?
It was my pleasure. Through March 3rd.
Through March 3rd mm-hmm. at Victory Gardens
Greenhouse
Theater on Lincoln Avenue.
Upstairs.
At the Upstairs Studio.
Right.
And thank you so much for your help. And folks, thank you for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another eager episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of February 12th, 2007. Northwestern University has announced that Michael Grief will be replacing Oscar Eustace as the director of The Boy in the Bubble, the fourth new musical of the American Music Theater Project. But don't worry, Oscar Eustace hasn't gone that far away. He is staying to do the dramaturgy on the show, and I'm certain as many of you know, Oscar Eustace is the director of the Public Theater in New York, and is well known for directing the world premiere of Tony Kushner's Angels in America. Now, Michael Grief, who is an award-winning Broadway director, directed a little show you may have heard of called Rent, where he received a Tony nom for Best Director back in 1996. The Boy in the Bubble, which is the fourth new musical from the AMTP, is scheduled to open in late July of this year at the Ethel M. Barber Theater. For more information on Michael Grief and The Boy in the Bubble, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. February 23rd marks the first day of availability for individual tickets of Jersey Boys, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. That's right, this is the Chicago premiere, which will be happening on October 6th at the LaSalle Bank Theater. Tickets for Jersey Boys will be going on sale at 8 o'clock in the morning at the LaSalle Bank Theater box office. You can also get a hold of them through Ticketmaster or the Broadway in Chicago ticket line. However, the best seats available, and only 1,000 of them, will be sold exclusively at the LaSalle Bank Theater's box office. Remember, the best seats are at the box office, so get in line early February 23rd, that is a Friday, to get your tickets for Jersey Boys. Looking Glass Theater has returned to the Big Apple with their signature hit, Looking Glass Alice. The show opened on February 9th at the new Victory Theater and marks the second production from Looking Glass to make it to the big city. The first was Mary Zimmerman's Metamorphoses, which was 5 years ago. The Looking Glass Alice tour, which is presented in association with the Actors Gymnasium, had a very, very successful 3-week run in Princeton, New Jersey. Afterwards, they will be moving on to Philadelphia, and then, of course, they are coming back here to Chicago, starting a summer run on June 20th. For more information on this current tour of Looking Glass Alice, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Well, as you may have noticed, ladies and gentlemen, this is our 1-year anniversary of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. That's right, we launched this little podcast back on February 13th, 2006, and here we are, February 12th, 2007. Well, not quite a year, but close enough. And what a year it has been. In case you haven't noticed, there have been over 52 in-depth interviews throughout the last year. And if you haven't listened to them all, you should take the time to poke around through our archives and listen to some wonderful, wonderful advice from incredibly talented artists. So don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we plan on sticking around. And you may want to hold on to your seat because there are a lot of surprises coming from theater in Chicago. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're here every Monday, and we're here every year. Well, thank you very much for listening to this eager episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, you know it. It's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Henry IV, Part 1, Act 2, Scene 4. Youth, the more it is wasted, the sooner it wears. Well, I can't thank you enough for listening to our little podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, The Price by Arthur Miller, directed by Todd Schmidt and produced by Shattered Globe Theater at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. Review by Tom Williams. Shattered Globe Theater, one of the best equity theater companies in Chicago, continues their fabulous year with Arthur Miller's 1969 excellent tragic comedy, The Price. This relatively unheralded gem is another powerful Miller family drama about the shattered American dream and the effects of economic woes on family dynamics. Director Todd Schmidt has mounted an emotionally charged work that hooks us and keeps unraveling the story of two brothers, estranged as their former home's furnishings are liquidated before the home is destroyed. Victor, played by Doug McDade, is a 28-year veteran policeman charged with selling his deceased parents' furniture. His wife, Esther, played by Linda Reeder, loves Victor, but she wants him to retire from the police and start making enough money for them to enjoy the good life. Set in 1969 in the attic of their Manhattan home, a terrific set designed by Kevin Hagen, Victor encounters the used furniture appraiser Gregory Solomon, played by the feisty Maury Cooper, an 89-year-old Russian Jew, veteran of the British Navy in 6 countries. The two debate the importance and viability of the antique furnishings in the attic. Solomon is a true delight, giving perspective and depth to the value of a family's furnishings and personal integrity. We learn that Victor abandoned his studies in science to support his father, who lost his massive wealth in the market crash of 1929. Victor took up police work as a temporary job, but now has 28 years invested. His brother Walter, played by Don Blair in a strong performance, left the family to fulfill his dream to be a surgeon. He made a fortune but lost his wife and the companionship of his brother Victor. After 16 years, Walter, now a changed man, arrives to attempt to rekindle a relationship with Victor. The play moves through all the buried resentments from Victor's perspective first, and then Walter's. We also see how Esther's angst strains her marriage. The title The Price has a dual meaning. On the surface, the price is the amount haggled over and agreed upon for the apartment's furnishings. The price is also part of a life. Whatever you do, whatever trade-offs you make in life, there is always a price that you'll pay. Victor sacrificed a promising career in science to support his father. Walter, realizing that the father is more selfish than needy, went his own way and later, wanting his brother to speak to the illusion of the father's neediness, refused Victor's plea for a modest loan of $500, causing the final rift in an already fragile relationship. The roads taken by each brother caused bitter resentment, and their attempt at reconciliation, marvelously structured by Miller as he gives powerful arguments for each character's point of view. Is Victor a martyr, or did he knowingly play it safe with his life choices? Is Walter sincere in his attempt to rekindle a relationship with Victor? Is it too late for Victor to forgive Walter? Is the price too high, too painful, and too late? For Solomon, the antiques are his final chance to be a player in the antique game. He is rejuvenated for a small price. Victor just wants to be rid of all the symbols of an unhappy past. Miller's play is a wonderful look at estrangement and the pain of rekindling the past. We do pay the price for each life choice we make. Miller skillfully balances any sympathy we might have equally between Victor and Walter, but Solomon emerges as getting the best price for his desires. The Price is one of the finest acted plays seen on a Chicago stage in recent memory. Maury Cooper is wonderful to behold. Linda Reeder does much with a facial expression, while Doug McDade is so empathetic we cheer for him. Don Blair has a commanding presence that is intimidating. The result is a troupe that delivers Arthur Miller's work with intelligence and respect. The Price, by Arthur Miller, highly recommended. Directed by Todd Schmidt and produced by Shattered Globe at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, located at 2257 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000. Again, for tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000.
Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. I would like to thank Shattered Globe Theater and Linda Reiter for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer, without whom this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Mote, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.